This edition of The Sessions at Midori House was first broadcast on the 17th of October 2015 on Monocle 24.
I'll take a little bit of bass as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Okay, I'm recording whenever you're ready.
Let's do it, man.
This is Pink Frost from 1982.
You're listening to The Sessions at Midori House with me, Andrew Muller. Our guest today is, beyond any serious question, the most influential musician New Zealand has ever produced. Martin Phillips formed The Chills in the remote South Island town of Dunedin in the early 1980s. The group became the centre of a dazzlingly brilliant scene based in Dunedin and on the Kiwi indie label Flying Nun. The Chills made strange and ghostly records which sounded like the Velvet Underground trying to teach themselves Beach Boy hits, and they should have been massive, but they weren't, despite a few near misses and many should have been hits. Martin came to Midori House with The Chills' first complete new album in nearly 20 years, the magnificent Silver Bullets. Frost. Oh, no. Martin, welcome to the sessions. You've played us three songs, which rather helpfully are sort of Ghost of Chill's past, present and future there. But I did want to ask about Pink Frost, which I think when you said you introduced it has sort of existed in some shape or form since 1982. I think I first heard it in about 1985. How does it feel for you? It feels strange enough to me to think that this song has existed in my head somewhere for 30 years. How strange is it for you to go back to these things that you wrote all that time ago?
I always think we're lucky in the Chills that we're not a one-hit wonder band, that we're not forced to play any one particular song. If that was the case, and it was Pink Frost, that would still actually be quite enjoyable, because I think there's only ever been two Chill shows where we didn't play Pink Frost just to see what would happen. And, and it continually changes, and even when it's more or less the same, it's an atmosphere which is just a thrill to be part of on stage. Once it kicks into that kind of haunting thing, it's the Chills and it couldn't be anybody else, and it's really enjoyable, and it's great to watch the impact on an audience who haven't heard it live before. So we did a 25th kind of anniversary couple of gigs around its release. I think it was written in 82 and performed live and recorded in 82, but it was in 84 we came back to tidy up the recordings after the death of the drummer Martin Ball. So it goes all the way back to then.
As has been pointed out to you more than once, I'm sure, in the last little while, it's been some considerable time since the last full-length Chills album, nearly 20 years, in fact, leading up to Silver Bullets, during which time you haven't been entirely idle, of course. But how strange was it to try and reconnect with the idea that there was going to be another Chills album? Was there ever a temptation to sort of decide that it was going to be something else, or did the name still seem an important thing to you?
For a long time, the Chills has been my accepted brand name for my music. I mean, I've tried to sort of mess with it a couple of times in the 80s. For one weekend after, again, the death of Martin Bull, we decided to drop the name Chills and became A Wrinkle in Time after a famous children's science fiction book. But people just call us the Chills anyway, and I sort of came to realise that that was the name of the music, and so on it goes. So I can't see the point in changing that now, apart from specific solo projects that would be me without the band. I became Martin Phillips and the Chills with a Sunburnt album in the 90s, and that was because I was doing solo shows and I wanted to show the difference when I was playing with the band, and to emphasise that the band were an entity in their own right. And again, that didn't work. People just called us the Chills, so on we went. The idea of never recording Chill stuff again, of course it's occurred to me that that might happen, because there's been a whole series of halted projects, tours, all sorts of things over the last decade or so, plus health problems, depression and drug problems. And then all of a sudden the doors sort of opened and here was the opportunity to do this new album. So the odd thing was, even though there's bits of music going back as far as 20 years, just based some basic riffs, the bulk of the songwriting was done within a year of knowing that, you know, we were going to be recording. So it is a very fresh kind of start, as opposed to it's like tidying up a lot of loose ends.
So do you think that's what you'd basically been lacking all that time previously? I guess just that combination of definite opportunity and a deadline.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think as much as I try and tell people that deadlines don't help me, I grudgingly accept that they really do. And especially on a subconscious level, because, you know, obviously he's writing songs, there are problems with them. There's a bit that is missing or a bit that's too long. And I would go to sleep and inevitably wake up around 3 or 4 in the morning, bing, and there's problem solved. And I learned very quickly, get out of bed, record that idea now. It's, of course, it's so obvious you'll remember it in the morning, but you never do. So I spent a lot of cold winter mornings scribbling furiously on paper or recording in my music room, just catching these ideas as they came up when required, which was quite remarkable.
It's called Easy Peasy, spelt with Z's in both words.
We share great days. Till something would stop it, for we felt nothing but pressure for profit. So we seek peace and easing. We seek peace and easy. We have times we could kill our bosses over hard lines and late fines, cutbacks and losses. Yet we seek peace and easing. We seek peace and easing. We choose hope and healing. Peace and easing. For our soul to survive, for our dreams and drive, for our need just to give, for our whole world to live.
Were you able, in putting together Silver Bullets, and again, especially after all this time, and again, taking into account the fact that while the Chills fan base may be relatively small, it is extraordinarily dedicated and devoted, were you self-conscious about the idea of making sure that it was something that would live up to the name, the Chills? Were you concerned about falling short?
Yeah, very much, because as a music fan, of course, I've been disappointed along with many people with sort of comeback albums and just records that shouldn't have been released. You know, you can see why people want to make music and that kind of stuff, but really, if you've got a legacy, you do have to kind of live up to it to some extent. This album was deliberately not a bold excursion into kind of untrodden territory for the Chills. That's something I want to do a wee bit with the next album. This one, I really very much wanted a connection with what had gone before. I want it to be recognised by us, but making use of modern recording techniques much more than we ever had before. You know, just really spending the time to get it right.
You still live in Dunedin, which of course was the centre of the Flying Nun scene of the 1980s, which the Chills were an extremely important pillar of. Does that location still feel like an important influence on the Chills sound, like where you live really informs what you write?
I don't get out into the kind of natural environment of Dunedin as much as I did when I was young. It's still a very powerful place to be part of, and it is home, so it's where I get kind of recharged, I guess, and I have lived in a lot of different places now, particularly, I guess, Auckland and London and Los Angeles for a while. In all those places, I kind of felt myself running down. So going back to Dunedin is kind of important. I'm not sure how much now it kind of really informs the writing. But having said that, there's a whole bunch of new acts coming up who are really sort of exciting in completely different ways. And they must be off the record. They must be doing mushrooms out on the Otago Peninsula as well, you know, just like we used to. So you can just tell this excitement about being in Dunedin. Some people know about the kind of musical history. Some of the young bands kind of come up to me in awe and sort of want, you know, advice or whatever. Others look at me with complete ridicule, or if I'm just an old guy, you know, just I wouldn't understand. So that's quite healthy too, actually. You can sort of go out and see some really great new bands and just quietly stand in the back and have a good time.
It's called I Can't Help You.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. Today's guest was Martin Phillips of The Chills, whose new album, Silver Bullets, is out now on Fire Records. They plan to return to Europe next year to tour. Keep up at www.softbomb.com. This show was produced by Holly Fisher, mixed by Alex Funnell, and I'm Andrew Muller. Thanks very much for tuning in.
Well, I remember those days of love and pain and shame, when love was launched straight away, shot down in flame. In flame. But the memories fade and I never quite place the blame. And I'm dreading the day when I can't recall your name. And I can't help you. Well, it scared me away. Now I'm never gonna feel the same. I see a trap and a trick and a twisted bittersweet game. Just a trap and a trick and a terrible cynical shame. So I can't help you. Trap and a trick and a twisted bittersweet game. Just a trap and a trick and a terrible cynical shame. For the truth I'm having to face, it's time to abandon the chase, 'cause I can't help you. Oh, the truth I'm having to face, I never will fill this space. So I can't help you. I can't help you. I can't help you. I can't help you. Help you. I can't help you. I can't help you. Help you. I can't help you. I can't help you.